Today, pulling up the drawbridge on home ownership. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of those posts covering finance and property news. Well, one stunning chart, which I keep coming back to, is the change in income and home prices over time. And it shows simply that housing is becoming more and more unaffordable. And we also know that more households have bigger mortgages and so are heavily exposed to higher rates, and that many will still have mortgages well into retirement. Our debt ratios are some of the most extreme across the world, as I've been reporting for years. It's great for banks, of course, as they reap interest payments, but it's bad for society. And in fact, I believe we're at the point where the drawbridge is being pulled up, making it harder and harder to get onto the property ladder, or indeed stay there. A joint study by AMP chief economist Shane Oliver and Bernard Salt showed that in 1966, 73% of Australians owned a home outright or with a mortgage, but the nation's home ownership rate has decreased now to 63%. And they also illustrated how the reduction in home ownership rates across Australia and globally have been driven by a substantial increase in home values relative to incomes. The internationally, ComSec, showed that Australia ranks 33 of 48 nations in home ownership, similar to the US, UK and Canada. So perhaps Australia is not alone in killing off the dream of property ownership thanks to silly policy settings and lending rules. But Australia has fallen well behind the OECD average with respect to outright property ownership, suggesting we're at the extreme end of the spectrum in doing dumb housing policy. Perhaps no surprise, given the high proportion of politicians who own investment property, according to a recent report. In fact, in Australia, the policies which have been in place for a generation now are so harshly being felt, particularly by younger Australians. The 2020 Intergenerational Report showed that home ownership fell by 18 percentage points from 1981 to 2021 for those aged between 30 and 34, and 17 percentage points for those aged 25 to 29. A smaller decline in home ownership rates has occurred among those approaching retirement age, falling by nearly 3 percentage points between 1981 and 2021 for those aged between 60 and 64. Tarek Brooker, who'll be recording a show with me this coming Friday, posted data from the National Housing Finance and Investment Corporation, the NHFIC, showing how Australian ownership has become increasingly difficult across Australia. This clearly shows that housing has become so expensive that upper and middle income households are struggling to enter the market and are needing assistance via the federal government's First Home Guarantee Scheme. This is a far cry from the pre-2000 era when homes could be purchased by families on a single income. Such schemes are, though, a tactical reaction to the problems of home ownership, but do not tackle the underlying drivers. Australians are increasingly being forced to live in high-rise apartments and granny flats, which are the fastest growing dwelling type, called place of enumeration in the 2021 census. As a result, the type and quality of housing for many homeowners has worsened in comparison to previous generations. In fact, there's a report put out yesterday that said new analysis of all residential properties across Australia's three largest capitals has indicated that there are more than 655,000 sites suitable for the construction of a granny flat, offering a solution to help ease the housing shortage, they said. Well, whether it's a granny flat or a kiddie flat, I think that's a problem. The report was called Granny Flats: Where Are the Greatest Opportunities for Development? And the report was by national town planning research firm Archistar, real estate construction lender Blackfort, and property data and analytic provider CoreLogic. And they assessed every residential block across Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane to determine how many individual properties have building potential for self-contained two-bedroom units. Sydney is home to the most granny flat development opportunities, they said, at around 242,000 suitable properties, representing 17.6% of the metro region's housing stock. Melbourne has around 230,000 potential sites, and that's 13.2% of stock, while Brisbane has almost 185,000 suitable sites, representing 23.3% of housing across the metro region. Seriously, are we saying that granny flats is the answer to the housing crisis? No, I don't think it is. But of course, there are those, particularly, for example, those with interests in building pre-constructed properties and flogging them off as quickly as possible. But I'm not sure that this really gets to the heart of the issue. Another illustration of the pressure on households is the fact that in the past decade, the median age of first home buyers in Australia has increased by 10 years, from 24 in 2022 to 34 in 2022, according to my own surveys, and it's still rising. And yet, we have migration settings which are drawing massive numbers of additional people into the country. According to the 2023 Intergenerational Report, Australia's population will grow by an additional 14 million people during the 40 years to 2062-63. That's historically very high levels of net overseas migration, and by the way, recent ABS data shows current levels are even higher. But if you take that projected 40 million people rising, it's equivalent to adding a combined Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane and Adelaide to Australia's population in only 40 years. Think about the infrastructure impacts of that. Few policies are more harmful for young Australians seeking a place to live than forcing them to compete for housing with hundreds of thousands of new migrants each year. And future Australians will have to make do with cramped shoebox homes owned by corporations and landlords. More of them will be renters for life. More of them will have a mortgage noose around their neck for the whole of their life. And net-net, this is bad for Australia, bad for society, and bad for individuals. Essentially, the property ownership drawbridge is being progressively raised. But, this is an important point, this is by design, not by accident. I really hope post The Voice, Albo and Co. will get serious about correcting the generation of mistakes and the ones that they've made more recently. But frankly, I'm not holding my breath. The very nature of society and the very type of places where people will live are going to change, are going to shrink, are going to cost more, are going to be requiring more debt. Who wins? The banks, of course. Plus, of course, the states and the local authorities that are charging for all those developments that are going on at the moment. But the losers are individual Australians, particularly younger Australians, and society overall. When are we going to wake up and understand that the current housing strategies and policies around the country are doomed? I think they will, but it's going to be too late. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultant standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.